I'm Adam Glinsky, a professor at Columbia University in the Business School. I conduct behavioral science research primarily in the areas of social psychology and organizational behavior. I'm going to share 5 bite-sized insights from my new book, Inspire. I have studied leadership for the past 2 decades by analyzing people's reactions to the leaders in their lives. I have asked thousands of people from across the globe to tell me about their experiences with 2 types of leaders: those who inspire them, creating a wellspring of hope and possibility inside them, and those who infuriate them, igniting a seething cauldron of rage and resentment. In analyzing those responses, I've uncovered 5 novel insights. The first big idea is that inspiring and infuriating leaders exist on an enduring continuum that is made up of 3 universal factors. The exact same characteristics emerge in every culture and a country across the globe. There's not a single inspiring or infuriating attribute that is unique to a specific region or continent. The 3 universal factors are being visionary, which represents how we see the world, an exemplar of desired behavior, which represents how we are in the world, and a mentor, which represents how we interact with others in the world. We can inspire others through our words, through our actions, and through our interactions. The reason these are the 3 universal factors is because each one fulfills a fundamental human need. Being visionary fulfills the need for meaning and purpose. Being an exemplar fulfills the need for protection and passion. And being a mentor fulfills the need for belonging and status. To reveal these 3 universal dimensions, let me tell you about a remarkable pilot, Tammy Jo Schultz. She was the captain of Southwest Airlines 1380, traveling from New York to Dallas when an engine exploded and tore a hole in the side of her plane. During the crisis, Tammy Jo was visionary, helping her passengers make sense of what was happening. As the plane was descending, she gave her passengers a reassuring why. "We are not going down. We are going to Philadelphia." Those simple words transformed the cabin from pure panic to possibility. After Tammy Jo amazingly landed her plane with no additional injuries, she was evaluated by an EMT who asked, "How did you get through security?" When Schultz looked confused and befuddled, he replied, "How did your nerves of steel not set off the metal detector? You're completely calm." Throughout the crisis, she was an exemplar, a calm and courageous protector. Now, after the plane landed, Tammy Jo Schultz went row by row, making sure each of her passengers were okay. She understood her role as mentor to not only protect, but also to comfort her passengers. The second big idea is that leaders either inspire or infuriate because their behavior has a big impact on others. I call this the leader amplification effect. When we are in a position of leadership, all our words and expressions, positive and negative, get amplified. Constructive comments feel like humiliating criticism when they come from a leader. The phrase, "I need to talk to you," sends shivers down our spines when it comes from our boss. And when leaders don't respond to our queries, their silence can feel deafening. But it's not all bad news. When a leader compliments or shares credit with us, it often comes across as glorious praise. The leader amplification effect occurs because when we are in a position of leadership, all eyes are on us. We are on a stage. That means all our utterances, our gestures, our interactions are being intensely attended to and scrutinized by others. As my research shows, attention amplifies the impact of any stimulus and intensifies our reactions to that stimulus. The leader amplification effect tells us that leaders rarely produce neutral reactions. That means we will have an impact whether we like it or not. However, we have control over the type of impact we have. We always have a choice of whether we inspire or infuriate. We have control over the words we use and the visions we set. We can be a better exemplar by regulating our own emotions and tapping into our passion. And we have the capacity to be a more motivating mentor by empowering and elevating others. The third big idea is that we are not born as inspiring or infuriating individuals. Rather, it is our current behavior that either inspires or infuriates. Because there is a universal and systematic set of inspiring attributes, those skills can be taught, they can be nurtured, and they can be developed. Let's consider how we can learn to be more visionary. We need to present the right message in the right way and at the right time. The message that inspiring leaders offer is a big picture, optimistic vision of the future, while infuriating leaders are small-minded pessimists. But how you present the vision matters too. Inspiring leaders simplify their big idea to its essence, and then they bring it to life with vivid language. For example, make our customers satisfied is not as motivating as make our customers smile, because we can viscerally see and feel that smile. My research with Vita Axtanate shows that politicians who use more visual language in their nomination speeches are more likely to be elected. Equally important is when we present our vision. You want to present it again and again and again, because repetition increases clarity and understanding. When Blaine Horton and I analyzed TED Talk viewership and investments in entrepreneurial pitches, we found that repetition of a core idea was a key to success. So how can we get into a more visionary frame of mind? We can do so by tending to our core values. For example, in one of my recent studies, unemployed individuals who contemplated their values for just 15 minutes, why those values mattered to them, and how they demonstrated their values recently, were twice as likely to find a job over the next 2 months compared to those who didn't. Reflecting on our core values helps us see the big picture and be more hopeful. Now, we can even be more visionary by practicing simplifying and visualizing our messages. Similarly, we can guide ourselves to be a more calm and courageous exemplar through daily practices like meditation and visualization. And we can be better mentors by training ourselves to let go of the reins and stop micromanaging others. The fourth big idea is that we can inspire people by thinking like an architect. What does it mean to think like an architect? Just as an architect designs a building to produce specific reactions within people and to facilitate certain interactions between people, we can design policies and protocols to encourage desirable responses and behaviors. This architectural metaphor also captures the idea that as leaders, we're influencing and affecting people even when we're not present. The policies and processes we set up as leaders influence people daily, encouraging some actions while discouraging others. Let's consider the simple task of designing a weekly meeting. The goal of many meetings is to learn from each other so we can make wiser decisions and produce more innovative ideas. Now, we could take a laissez-faire approach, believing that a lack of constraints will unleash creative insights. But that design choice often invites chaos, conflict, and inefficiencies where the loudest people reign supreme. Making wise decisions, on the other hand, requires staying on track and encouraging participation. Thinking like an architect can help us be more visionary by recognizing the need to craft a clear and well-thought-out agenda. Similarly, it helps us solve an offshoot of the leader amplification effect, the leader silencing effect, where our authority silences the voices of others. Now, one design choice we can make is when to speak. When we speak first as a leader, it sets a powerful anchor that can weigh the whole discussion down and make it harder for people to share their perspective, especially when it doesn't align with what we just said. In contrast, when a leader speaks last, others feel more free to share their thoughts. Similarly, what we wear can reinforce or reduce the leader silencing effect. During mission debriefs in the U.S. Army, there's one thing left outside the door: uniforms. Because the military needs every perspective to ensure a full understanding of the completed mission, they need to reduce rank differences. The easiest way to do so is to have these discussions in civilian clothing. We can take the idea of empowerment one step further by designing a rotational system of responsibility for our meetings. Sherry Wu of UCLA has found that letting workers run a 20-minute weekly meeting not only increases their satisfaction, but also boosts their productivity. That's how I run my doctoral seminars. Each week, a different student co-leads the class discussion with me. Thinking like an architect can also help us resolve conflicts. By establishing voting rules in advance, my colleagues and I reduced the discord that had permeated our hiring meetings. Similarly, I turned my warring sons into more loving siblings simply by changing their drop-off order at school. Dropping my more impatient son off first made all the difference. The fifth and final big idea is that we can be more inspiring through reflection. Earlier, we discussed how reflecting on our values can make us more visionary. Similarly, my research shows that reflecting on times when we felt powerful and in control turns us into more inspiring exemplars. It makes us more authentically confident, calm, and courageous. And when we want to be better at elevating and empathizing with others, we can reflect on their perspectives. But there are two broad but powerful reflections that can help us stay on the inspiring end of the continuum more often. Here's what I want you to do. Once a month, reflect on when you were inspiring, but also when you may have been infuriating. When did you see or fail to see the big picture? When were you anxious and cowardly rather than calm and courageous? When did you empower, elevate, and empathize with others or fail to do so? Second, I want you to engage in the same reflection that I've given thousands of people across the globe. Think about an inspiring leader from your own life and how you might emulate that person and inspire a similar wellspring of hope and possibility in others. But also think about an infuriating leader and how you might avoid making other people's blood boil. Finally, turn reflections into practice. Here's one daily practice that is guaranteed to inspire those around you. Every morning, reach out to at least one person and praise a task they did well, or thank them for making your life easier. A CEO told me that it takes him only minutes over his daily coffee to brighten someone's day. But here's the amazing part. It also brightens his day too. His morning gestures receive effusive replies that put a spring in his step. His daily gestures have created a virtuous cycle of inspiration. Thanks for letting me share my research on how to inspire others. I've shared with you five big ideas from my book, and let me re-summarize them for you. The first big idea is that inspiring and infuriating leaders exist on an enduring continuum that is made up of three universal factors: visionary, exemplar, and mentor. The second big idea is that both inspiring and infuriating leaders are a big deal because everyone is closely and observing the behavior of leaders. It's what I call the leader amplification effect. The third big idea is that we are not born as inspiring and infuriating individuals. Rather, it is our current behavior that either inspires or infuriates. Because there is a universal and systematic set of inspiring attributes, we can learn those and develop them. The fourth big idea is that we can inspire people by thinking like an architect and designing processes that produce ideal outcomes. Finally, the fifth big idea is that we can all be more inspiring more of the time by engaging in a periodic set of reflections. In Inspire, I go further and apply these five big ideas to help you be a more effective decision maker, a more dynamic problem solver, a value-creating negotiator, and a more inclusive innovator. I hope this book helps you not only be a more effective leader, but a better spouse, a more motivating parent, and a more dependable friend. Thanks for listening.